Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
I feel the Lord is here and He wants to do something significant in these next few moments. I'm really thankful for Pastor Thomas and what he shared around our communion today. Because it's not only the Lord's table that we can come to unworthily, but it's actually the Lord's house that we can come to unworthily. And he really hit on something. And as I was standing there, I was reminded of this scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. It says, "Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." God opposes the proud and He gives grace to the humble. So God, we come before You right now. God, I'm asking if there is pride in any area of our life where we think we know better, where we think we've got it all sorted, where we think, yeah, I know what the answer is. God, I'm asking, Lord, that we would know what it is to be little kids again, and that we would come humbly before You, that we would open Your scriptures ready to receive from You today. God, that we would come humbly before You. And I pray, Lord, in any area of my life, I repent of pride, of knowing it, of knowing what I think should happen. And God, I ask, Lord, for humility to be evident amongst Your people. God, You said You oppose the proud, but You give grace to the humble. We invite Your grace into this space. Your grace empowers us to do everything that You've called us to do. And so, God, we love You tonight. We love You tonight. And I speak to the spirit of pride. You have no right. You have no authority in this place. And even right now, in these next 30 minutes that I'm speaking, I command you to leave the building. And God, for You to come and invade this place, that this would be heaven on earth, that this would be, Bethel, a meeting place of God. God, we want to meet with You tonight. We're not satisfied with singing songs about You, reading stories about You, but we want to encounter who You are. Jesus, would You make Yourself known tonight? We place You as Lord of all, as King of kings, as Lord of lords. Come and sit on the throne of our life tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen? Amen. Amen. Awesome. If you got your Bibles, why don't you turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 35. And I am going to make sure this doesn't turn off. And for those of you that maybe tonight's your first time with us, or you haven't been around, we're as a church in the middle of, or actually coming towards the end of a series where we've been talking about healing. And healing's an interesting topic because it requires a level of faith for us to step out in. You can't be half-hearted about it. Either you're in or you can't kind of go, oh yeah, I kind of believe it, but I've got to just justify some things. Like it requires something of us. And that's what I've loved about this moment and this small season over the last 3 or 4 weeks is healing is actually still one of God's tools that He uses today in order for people to encounter a risen Christ. It is something that is still here today. It doesn't, not just something that we read about in our Bible, but it's something that is accessible today. Some of you will know this, but I would not be here if it wasn't for a miracle of God. Some of you are thinking, well, that's just because you're a bit crazy. No, literally, my mum had epilepsy from when she was really young, and she had it really bad. She swore that she would never have kids unless she didn't have epilepsy. She did not want to be holding one of her precious little ones and have a fit and accidentally drop her child. That stopped her from having kids. She was in a meeting like this. She came down the front. Someone prayed for her and instantly she was healed. Within 6 months, she met my father. Within 9 months, they were married. And not long after that, I came along.
God is still healing today. I was talking with some of our serving team this morning, and a friend of theirs was in hospital, and they were given literally days to live. And so they went in and they were praying for her and just believing. And within 3 days, they let her go home. Finally eating and drinking again. Now we're believing that her body is fully healed, no sign of any sickness whatsoever. But let me tell you today, God is still in the business of healing sick bodies. He is still in the business of setting people free. And we're going to read a little bit about this encounter that that Jesus had here. So in Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction." Notice that, every disease and every affliction. "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Verse 1 of chapter 10. And noticing that it's connecting what has previously been stated and what's about to come. "And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction." I want you to jump down to verse 5. It says, "These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, 'Go now nowhere among the Gentiles or enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons. You have received without paying, give without pay.'" So God, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you that it is life to our mortal bodies. I pray tonight that as we open your scriptures, Lord, that we would feast on what it is. I pray, Holy Spirit, it would not just be my eloquent words, but it would be the power of the Holy Spirit that writes your word upon our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, I pray. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. There's a show that's just recently come on Stan that has been a show that I've long time, since I was a kid, always enjoyed the tale of, and that's Robin Hood, or Robin of Locksley. That's my best impression of an English accent. Please excuse me. But the story of Robin Hood has always been one that fascinates me. You know, he's not only, like, I would love to have the skills of an archer that he has, just to be able to, like, hit a bullseye. You do not want a bow, an arrow in my hand. Someone will probably die, and it'll be because you're standing next to me, not because you're in front of me. But I love the story, and as the kind of the slogan is that he steals from the rich to give to the poor. And as I'm thinking about this story, it's actually set in an entirely different culture to what really we've grown up in or we know. There is a king that owns all of the land, and Robin Hood or Robin of Locksley has become an outlaw of the land. He's living in the woods that are actually under the authority of the King of England, and all of the animals that live in that space are under the king's instruction. So only those that get a written invitation by the king can go and hunt them and eat them. And yet we find this story where Robin Hood is seeing the injustice of an unjust king only favoring those that he wants to favor. And Robin Hood comes along and starts to steal from the rich and give to the poor to bring justice to the people. And I got thinking about this whole concept of what would it be like to live in a kingdom? Not in a government where we get to vote for our prime minister or our state leader or our premier or whoever it is, but to live in an environment where there is a king and there is the son of the king, the prince that will take over from him. And really, if we understand that the Bible itself, in all that it was written, is actually under, it has this theme written all the way through it. That God actually created the world, and it's not like we get to vote if God is doing a good job or not. Like, he is king, he is Lord, he is it. Before the world was, he was. After the world goes, he will be. He is it. It's found all through, this theme of kingdom is found all throughout the gospel. In Genesis, it says that God is going to raise up a king that will trample the head of the serpent. We hear in Chronicles where God speaks to David and says, there is coming from your line a king that will rule forever and ever and ever and ever. The prophet Isaiah talks about that the government shall be upon his shoulders, and it will be a government of peace, and it will have no end. All of this talking about the man called Jesus. And we see right at the very end of the book in Revelations, where all of a sudden it's spoken about in Revelation chapter 11, 15, it says, the kingdom of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever. I don't know if you realize it or not, but we are a part of a kingdom. If you believe in Jesus, if you have made him Lord of your life, you are part of a kingdom. It is part of your citizenship. If you belong not only to maybe a resident or a citizen of Australia, but no, you are a citizen of heaven. You are a child of God. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. Matthew talks about the kingdom of the kingdom, and many times he talks about the kingdom of heaven, not so much the kingdom of God. Why? Because the book of Matthew is written to a predominantly Jewish audience who would not even utter the word Yahweh. It's the kingdom of heaven. Mark and Luke talk about the kingdom of God. Whenever it is mentioned, it's the same thing. It's painting the same picture that we are a part of a kingdom, and that kingdom has an area, has a group, has a people. In the Old Testament, it was the people of Israel were under the kingdom of God because they were his chosen people. When Jesus died and rose again and said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. As we are born again and surrender our life to Jesus, we become part of the geographical territory of God's kingdom. It is in you. It is part of you. And wherever you go, goes the kingdom of God. So I want to talk about tonight, the title of my message is His Kingdom, which is God's blueprint against disease and sickness. I think as believers, we need to understand what we have access to as children of God. I love my kids, and they're the best thing in the world. And oftentimes, when we're out and about, we might be picking my kids up from school, and they're like, hey, Dad, can we get some slushies on the way home? Now, part of me has said, all right, yeah, have you got money? You can pay for it. You know what they say? No, Dad, I don't, but I know you do. All right, let's go get a slushie. You know, actually, God has things that he wants you to petition him for. He has things that he's just wanting his kids to say, hey, God, could I have this part of heaven that I know I have access to? Could it become a reality in the world that I'm in today? And I get access to that. Why? Because, not because of anything I've done, it's because of what Jesus did for me. And I now sit as a citizen of heaven. A citizen of heaven. We see here that Jesus is going throughout the towns and the villages. He's speaking in the synagogues, declaring, hey, the kingdom of God that you have heard about, that you've heard prophesied about, it is not of a distant time to come. No, it's right here amongst you. Ta-da! I'm here. And because of the way in which they thought the kingdom of God would come, they missed the very thing that they were after. How many times can you and I miss the very thing that God is doing on the planet because it doesn't look like what we thought it would look like? Oh, Lord, I ask that that you would humble our heart, that we would be so sensitive to what you're doing and how you're moving on our world. Jesus gets up and says, the kingdom of God is here. And he says, I'm not just going to declare about it, but I'm going to show you what it looks like. And the Bible says that every disease and every affliction was healed. Every disease and every affliction. Do you know that means that in heaven, there is no sickness and there is no affliction? When the disciples were asking Jesus, they said, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? Matthew 6. Jesus goes to them and says, pray like this. It says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We honor you, Lord. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God's desire is that the very creation that he created would look like the environment that he lives in. That we would have a place and an earth that would look like heaven. And every time you see heaven break out and manifest itself on earth, what can you say? It's the kingdom made reality in the world that I'm living in. I want to be someone who knows what it is, who can taste, see and identify, oh, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God touched my mum's body to a point where she was so debilitated by this epilepsy. She had shock therapy. She went through all sorts of things. Lost her teeth from literally having a fit that caused her to fall out of a bus window. Her body was touched. She came one way. Heaven met her in that moment. She left a totally different woman. Come on, can I tell you today that God is still in the business of breaking open heaven and pouring it out on our earth today? Your kingdom come, your will be done. So the question then becomes, we better get real good at understanding what heaven's like. Because if we want heaven to be manifested on earth, we need to know what it looks like in heaven. One of the things that I've found out from my walk with God is that there is no misunderstanding of who's in charge in heaven. Like there is a clear authority of what happens in heaven. And as I've found some of those things out, what I find is as I honor the person that is in authority, whether it be on earth or my heavenly Father, all of a sudden, heaven and earth come closer and closer and closer. As I honor what my Father says, heaven gets closer and closer and closer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We need to understand that there is a kingdom that God has and is establishing on our earth. We just need to understand, what does that look like? I love the fact that in heaven there is no sickness, there is no disease. And whilst I understand and I stand here today with an affliction in my body, with pain in my body, I will not allow that to change the reality of what God has said in his words. If he said that he will heal every disease, every affliction, then it is his heart to do so. I never want to say, oh, you know, I've got this thing because it just keeps me humble. No, that's actually not God's tool. It's not in his tool belt to keep us humble. In actual fact, he said, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Why? Because God will do it far better than you will. I heard this really good story. Wow, I've got 10 minutes. Okay, we've got to fly. I heard this really good story of a couple of mates who are at Bible college, and they were praying together every morning, and they were saying, you know, God, I want to know you better. Would you humble me? Would you humble me? And the other friend was like, oh, I don't know that I really want to pray that prayer. And so he's like, God, humble me, humble me, humble me. Well, he happened to work at a pizza joint. So they were fasting and they're praying and they're seeking the Lord. All of a sudden, he's delivering pizzas, which is a dumb thing in the middle of a fast. But he goes out, he's got like this stack of pizzas, goes to this house and rocks up and realizes as he knocks on the door and says, I've got your 10 pizzas here. The guy goes, I didn't order any pizzas. It was a bogus call. So he rings back to the office. He rings back to where the pizzas are made and speaks to his manager. Says, "Oh, boss, it's a bogus call. What do you want me to do with the pizzas?" And his boss says, "Oh, look, I don't care. Just get rid of them. You can eat them. You can do whatever." Now he's on a fast. He's driving back. No, I won't be tempted. And all of a sudden, the pizza starts speaking to him. Feed me. Eat me. Eat me. And the hunger has just gotten to him. It's like, now normally it's like meat lovers and all of those kind of things, which would be fantastic. But these are like pepperoni, vegetarian, but when you're that hungry, you just don't care. It's like he's just started hoofing it in. He gets back to the thing, gets the next order, goes out. And as he's driving on the way out, he all of a sudden feels these sharp pains in his, sharp pains in his abdomen. And he's like, what is that? But he's got an order to deliver. So he's like, he's driving, he's getting, it's like GPS says 10 minutes away. He's like, oh man, all this stomach's in there. And then he starts to realize, I have to really cleanse my butt cheeks. And all of a sudden, as he's literally 5 minutes from getting there, he can't do it any longer. He just defecates everywhere. In the car. But he's still got pizzas to deliver. Sheepishly goes up. You know what the answer to that story is? Don't ask God to humble you, because he'll do it far better than you can do yourself. All right, come back. In verse 36, it says, as he, being Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. We don't have time for it today, but that word compassion is significant, because it's actually the same word that when Moses is on the mountain encountering God, and he asked God, tell me what you're like. This word compassion is the same word that is kind of saying, this is the kind of God that I am. I am compassionate towards my people. And he goes on to say that he is compassionate towards them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless. Here's the reality, is we are in a war. We may desire that God's kingdom comes, but there is somebody else who desires that his kingdom would never come here, ever. And that we are in a war. And Jesus can see, as he's going about and preaching and proclaiming the good news of the gospel, that God's kingdom is here. You have access to the forgiveness of your sins, to be washed clean, to be made well, to walk in healing and health, and to be totally looked after for the rest of your life. And it's right here. And yet there's an enemy out there who's like, I am so against this, and I'm going to afflict them with everything I have. And Jesus looks upon them with compassion in his heart. And he then goes into this scripture that we all know. He says that they are like sheep without a shepherd. They are like infants who don't have a parent who will look after them, guide them. But here's the beauty about compassion, is compassion draws him to action. Because in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, it says, and Jesus called the 12 to him. In other words, he saw the issue, the fight, what was happening. Now, let me just say, there is actually no fight. When Jesus says something, it's done. The best way I can describe this is like light and darkness don't fight. Darkness only exists where light doesn't. It's not like when you go home tonight and you turn on your bedroom light, you don't see this war between light and darkness and which one is going to win. No, as soon as you turn that on, light comes. There is no fight. But see, there's a contending that you and I need to do. There is a lost world that doesn't recognize, doesn't know that there's a light and there's a kingdom that wants to break into their world so quickly and right now. But we need to be the ones that let them know. So what does Jesus do? In verse 1, he says, "And he called to him the 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal some of the diseases." No. Every disease and every affliction. So let me just set the picture here. Not only did God create heaven that is perfect, not only did he make a way for you and I to become citizens of that kingdom, he actually shared in the authority that he has over darkness with the very citizens that he rescued to his kingdom. In other words, you and I have authority from heaven that wherever we see sickness, wherever we see affliction, wherever we see the devil harassing humankind, we have the authority to speak light into that situation. We have the authority to say, "It shall not happen on my watch." I don't know about you, but sometimes as I'm going through my life and I see people who are dealing with sickness or mental health issues or whatever it may be, and let me just say, I don't think every mental health issue is because the devil's oppressing them. There are real things, but let's just say that's not God's original design. So I believe God can make it right. But if I'm honest, there are times where I go through my life and I see sickness and I see disease and I see it on somebody that's maybe not my family, maybe not someone that I really care about. If I'm really honest, it doesn't move me. I'm like, "Oh, I'm so sorry for you. I have pity, but I don't have compassion." Oh, that we would be a people that are like Jesus and could see the crowd around us and have compassion that compels us to say, "Hey, can I pray for you? Can I step out? Can I introduce you to this person called Jesus? He transformed my life." Now, I've seen some unbelievable things happen in my life where I had a young person in our youth ministry who all of a sudden, through a particular situation, got deaf in one of her ears. And we were just down on a regular Friday night, and I said, "Can I pray for you?" I put my hands on her ears, and I said, "In Jesus' name, I command hearing to come back to this ear. God, you designed the body. You know how it works. I ask, Lord Jesus, however you want to do it, but make this right again." And all of a sudden, her eyes kind of lit up, and she's like, I can hear. I'm saying, "All right, okay, just chill out for a minute. Are you sure you can hear?" So we like stuffed her other ear full of like tissues just to make sure she couldn't. She was totally healed. Incredible. But if I'm also honest, I've prayed for other deaf people. And I'm like, I don't know. I pray the same prayer. I have the same level of faith. I have the same conviction. But I don't see it a reality. I don't take that as God going, "Well, God heals some and not others." You know what I do? "God, I don't know what I'm doing. Could you teach me? What is it?" I want to see every person that I lay hands on get healed. Not because I want to be someone great, but because that's what Jesus did. Every disease, every sickness, every affliction, everyone who came to him was made well. The Bible says that If all of the miracles that Jesus did on the 3.5 years that he was doing ministry on the planet, there would not be enough books to contain the miracles that he did. Think about that for a minute. I'm not going to allow my experience to shift my knowledge and understanding of what heaven's like and what heaven should come at, what earth should look like when heaven comes to earth. Goes on in verse 5, it says, the 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go now here among nowhere among the Gentiles, and do not enter a town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons. You have received without paying, give without pay. Do you know what that means? Everything that you have received from heaven, you did not earn, you did not pay for, and even if you could, you would be in debt for the rest of your life. So what gives you the right to hold that, withhold that from somebody else? Revelation talks about this, that the spirit of a testimony has the spirit of prophecy. What does that mean? What God did in me, he wants to do again.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.